Hey everyone, this is John.
And this is Wes.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the Pokemon Show for this month. Every month we end our round of shows with a episode where we talk all about Pokemon. And if it's your first time listening, thanks for joining us. You can download all of our previous episodes on iTunes, do a search for Games Unanimous, and you can always listen on our website, gamesunanimous.com. So, because it's our Pokemon show, we would be remiss in our responsibilities as Pokemon lovers to not talk about the announcements of Pokemon Black and White.
Oh, we're just going to go right into that, off the bat.
Well, usually we just talk about the team we've been using. We're actually going to... We'll get into
usually
that.
Usually, as in the one podcast, we've done it this way now.
Well, yeah, because it used to be a segment in our major podcast. Now it's its own separate thing, and that's what we are usually going to do.
No, I'm in a challenging mood today.
Well, no, it's good. It's good that we're putting it all on the table here and that you're making things as clear as possible. So what we'll usually be doing on these podcasts is talking about our team that we've been using in Pokemon Gold, Silver. And we usually save the news for our official show for every month, which we do, I believe, the second week of every month we do an official
show.
This
is Pokemon news. Yeah, so I mean, this happened so rarely.
And it fits in so perfectly. And the timing was really perfect, too, because at the time of recording this, it was, like, announced yesterday or the day before.
Uh-huh.
So Pokemon Black and White 2, it is obviously going to be a sequel to Pokemon Black and White. Wes, what are your initial reactions to this here?
I'm pretty disappointed.
So, okay, well, let's get into why you're disappointed, because I know why.
I want a remake of Ruby Sapphire.
And I think that was pretty much our prediction of what was happening next.
I want a remake. I loved that game. I wanted to see the original Silver and Gold were really good, and the remake even increased it, and it made it really wonderful. I was waiting for something like that with Ruby, because Ruby, we struggled to get through Ruby, but I love the Pokemon in Ruby.
See, I have the opposite reaction. I thought that... Every podcast. Navi has to make an appearance.
Come on. It's the Nintendo show. Navi has to make an appearance every podcast.
So, I was thinking that Ruby Sapphire Remake was next up on the list and was going to be for the 3DS, but they surprised everybody with this sequel to Pokemon Black and White, and I'm actually really excited because I wasn't that into the Pokemon in Ruby and Sapphire, and even though I was looking forward to a remake and seeing what they could do with that particular third generation of Pokemon and remaking and kind of reworking things, maybe making it work a little bit better, I really loved Black and White, and I'm really excited to actually revisit that world and that generation of Pokemon.
Yeah, I can agree with that, because Black and White was a really good installment, and they really improved on a lot of things that they needed to change, because we've grown so used to it. But, I mean, at the same time, this is the first direct sequel of a title. This is different.
You can kind of consider Gold and Silver an indirect sequel to Red and Blue, because you have some similar characters, and the original character from Red and Blue makes an appearance, and there's like sort of a continuity with the Team Rocket storyline and all that.
Yeah.
So because it's titled Black and White 2, I think we can assume it's a pretty direct sequel. And I do have some questions that are unanswered.
Like, are they going to use the same main character? Are there going to be new Pokemon? Are they just going to have a few new Pokemon while still keeping the majority of the last ones?
Yeah, because all we know about this game right now is that there are a couple of new legendaries.
That's all we know.
And because that's all we've gotten from that teaser trailer. You got, I'm going to totally butcher this name, Kyurem,
yeah,
something
like that.
The Ice Dragon from the first one, who is a really good legendary, and now you have a white version of him and a black version of him, and they look super similar to the legendaries in Black and White, like the title characters.
An ice version of each.
Yeah, except he's like kind of looking like they're wearing ice armors, but their tails are really similar and their heads. So I'm wondering if it's going to be sort of an upgraded version or if these guys are going to be totally distinct. Because there are a couple of questions I have in regards to that. Like, if you're going to transfer characters over, like your legendary from Black and White, and maybe in transferring over he gets upgraded, or if there's going to be, like, your Reshiram and then a white Kyurem, there are two totally separate monsters. So we'll have to wait and see how that's all going to work out.
I really would like to see them do something completely different here and not start fresh, just like all the other ones, where it's just some random kid and he gets given one of the three starters and then you build from there. I just want to see, like, a continuation of the last one.
That would be really awesome. And one of the things I had thought about before, and I have some notes written down here, is that it would be really cool to see a direct continuation of that story where maybe you play as the same character and you have the same basic structure where you're going throughout this region and having to go to different towns and stuff like that, but you're playing as the same guy, or maybe even playing as that N character. You remember him from Black and White? He was kind of the antagonist for a little while, but then kind of went off on his own and disappeared. So it'd be pretty cool to see what that guy's up to. I'm pretty sure that you'll see him as a character in the game. It'd be really awesome if he was a playable character. And there's the one other question, and I think it's something you brought up a little bit ago. If they're actually going to like expand the Pokemon decks besides, you know, extra legendaries, if they're gonna maybe like pull a gold silver to what was Red and Blue, where they add a bunch of guys, keep the original like 150, and then throw a few more in there.
Yeah.
So lots of unanswered questions, and hopefully we get some answers to that. I'm sure we'll get some answers to that as the months go on. Maybe at E3 we'll see a little bit more of this game, and, you know, as people start getting their hands on it, because it's not that far away. It's slated to come out in North America in the fall.
Yeah.
So not too far from now, we'll be getting a brand new Pokemon game. And the one last thing that I wanted to discuss, we discussed your disappointments of not being a Ruby Sapphire remake, but good news for you.
Oh, boy.
It's actually for the original DS, not for the 3DS.
It's good, because I haven't brought myself to drop that money on that.
And, you know, I think this is a really good thing. I think there's been a little bit of backlash on the internet about it not being for the 3DS, and I think that because it's for the DS, it's going to hurt the 3DS a little bit. And I disagree, because you can still play a DS game on a 3DS, so it's basically like it's for that system. I think that it's not gonna look like a lot of the more sophisticated 3DS games like Resident Evil, or
I hope it does look better than Black and White did, because I mean, Black and White, at the same time, I mean, it was cool that they actually had active animations for each of them during the battles and they actually moved, but it still looked real choppy. And
I really liked the way Black and White looked. You know, the battles, you know, they are what they are, and unless they're fully animated, they're always going to look a little choppy like that. I really don't mind the battles being static in a Pokemon game. We've just kind of come to accept that because that's the way it's always been. But the environments, I thought, looked really good outside of battle. I thought that
I'm just talking about battle animations.
Yeah, it's, you know, other than battle animations, which, you know, are what they are.
It did look really good.
Yeah, it's a nice-looking game. All, like, the cities and the different places, like the snowfall and stuff like that. I think the game looks fine the way it is. I don't know if I'd want to see, like, a Pokemon game that doesn't use 2D sprites. I think we might get a little bit of, like, that Fire Emblem syndrome where Shadow Dragon just doesn't look as good as Sacred Stones, even though it's a more technologically advanced game. So, I think that a new Pokemon game on the regular DS is mutually beneficial for both Nintendo and Nintendo fans. It's beneficial for Nintendo because there's a broader audience base. You know, you combine people that own a DS and a 3DS and you can sell to all of them. And it's good for fans because the game still works really well, even though it's on a previous generation of hardware. And you don't have to spend $200 to get the game. You know, you can just get it for the system you have if you don't want to adopt a 3DS just yet. So, did you have anything else you wanted to say about this sequel before we move on?
No, I want some more info on it, because this is... I just saw the trailer right before we started this
and
podcast.
And it's 30 seconds.
You're like, what is the point of that? Oh.
Yeah, they're just teasing the upgrade of the legendaries. So, you know, even though I don't... That's not going to be the highlight of the game for me. I actually want to see the way...
I don't care about legendaries ever.
Yeah, I just want to see how you're supposed to progress in the game, if you're starting out as a new character, if you're starting out as a new town. I really want to see some expanded areas, like the forest near the beginning. I'd like to see that expanded and have new places to explore. That's really the biggest thing for me, is I want to be able to go to different places but still within, like, the same region. Because I think it's safe to assume it's going to take place in the same region. Otherwise, they just give it a whole new generation.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice, like, maybe a few more towns to go to, build on some of the areas you already have. Like, maybe have some new areas that have opened up. And it'd be nice as well if you could catch some different guys in different areas. Like, if you're starting in the same town, having new guys near the beginning to catch. Because a lot of times, there are guys in that game that you can't catch until after you beat the Elite Four.
And that's just frustrating.
Yeah. And a lot of them evolve late, too. So, anyway. But we do have reusable TMs to look forward to again.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That was wonderful. The best feature of that game. Oh,
definitely. And how little you really need to use those HMs.
Yep. So, one other topic I wanted to discuss before we move on to what we've been doing with our most recent team is there was a Mewtwo event, a Wi-Fi distribution of this special edition Mewtwo. And I went ahead and picked that up. And I'm going to look him up real quick so I don't get his moveset confused. But he's, of course, the legendary from Red and Blue. Did you ever use a Mewtwo in battle at all, Wes?
No, because I don't like legendaries.
Yeah, it's... I never used legendaries in battle, but we'll get to them eventually. Because we do have to train them all.
Yeah, definitely.
So this particular Mewtwo... I got him, and I was lucky to get one with a neutral nature, which is something that I always like to have in Pokemon.
Anybody.
Yeah, because I like to see how their stats grow normally. And
I always wanted to use that guy.
And he... which guy are you looking at?
The Ghost Ground.
Oh, yeah, I trained him a little bit.
I always
bit.
Wanted to use that guy.
Yeah, he's...
He just seemed too difficult.
He's all right. He's a heavy physical attack guy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sorry, Psycat.
And this Mewtwo comes holding a King's Rock, which is a really difficult item to get in that in Black and White. So
it's kind of random.
Yeah, you get it at level 70, and it knows Psy Strike, which is a psychic special move that actually attacks physical defense.
Which is awesome. I love those moves.
Yeah, and it also knows Shadow Ball, Aura Sphere, and Electro Ball. So it's got a pretty diverse move set. And it's a guy that the only other way you can get him in Black and White is to transfer him over. So it's a pretty cool little event. I'm still waiting for the Mew event. That's the one I really want.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's about time they just give people Mews. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm really not sure how you're supposed to get him at all. I think for a time, I don't know if they're still doing it, but for a time they were making him a download available if you go to like the Nintendo World Store in New York.
Huh. Interesting.
I don't know if they still do that, but...
It's a reason to go to New York.
Yeah, for a while, that was the only way you could get a Mew. So, Mewtwo, I think the event is closed, so if you missed them, that's unfortunate.
Sucks
but,
for you.
You know, it's not the only way you can get them, but it is the only way you can get one that knows Electro Ball. That's like his special move that he can't learn otherwise by a TM. And it's an okay one. It's the electric move that... the faster you are than the opponent, the more damage you do.
What is this Benfictini here on this page?
Hang on, let's read it real quick. Looking at Serebii, the Wi-Fi events there. There was a movie Victini that was not available on Wi-Fi. It took place from December 3rd to December 31st in 2011.
Okay.
And it looks like... It's a Victini from the movie. It doesn't say, as I'm skimming through it right here, it doesn't say how quickly or how you actually obtain them because it says not Wi-Fi.
I don't know.
Anyway, level 50.
I was just curious because it has this move called V-Create. Never heard of that.
Yeah, I'm looking at that too. It also knows Fusion Flare, Fusion Bolt, which are the legendary moves for the other guy. And of course, Searing Shot. V-Create is a fire physical move with 180 power and 95 accuracy.
That is disgusting.
Yeah, that's an amazing move.
It's a physical, though.
Yeah, it is. Which, you know, Victini's physical attack isn't bad. He's got 100 base stats across the board. Anyway, and it looks like Rayquaza can also learn that move, which is also kind of random.
That is really, really random because that's a fire move.
Anyway, we're off topic.
Yeah, here. It's okay. So, it's about Pokemon, so it works.
Yeah, it is. All right, so I'm going to just go ahead and segue, and we don't need a music break. We can just go ahead and move on.
No music for you guys.
Nope. We'll get music in the beginning and the end, and then we'll move on. So of course, what we usually do in this particular podcast is we talk about the Pokemon that we're training, going through all original 250 from Gold and Silver, and running through the game as many times as it takes in order to train them all. So, right now, and where we're using Vulpix, Seal, Rhyhorn, Tangela, Teddy Ursa, and Venonat, and we're going to actually keep going with this team until the end of March, and we'll talk about them more in depth at the end of March, but right now we're just kind of giving a quick overview because neither of us are done with the game with this team yet.
Definitely not. It's actually a very nice team.
Yeah.
So I actually like this team.
Who on this team have you used before?
I've used Vulpix, Seal, Venonat, and Rhyhorn I've attempted.
So let's go ahead and start with Vulpix. Highlights of Vulpix so far, he learns Flamethrower crazy early.
Yeah.
Like, level 24. And there's no reason to not evolve him after that, because he learns some other moves, none of them really stand out, though.
Yeah.
So...
But in the new Silver, it's actually pretty difficult to get your hands on, if you buy them in that one...
You have to do that Pokathlon.
That's right, Pokathlon. That is so annoying.
And yeah, it's rough with this team, because no one's, like...
any good at anything.
Yeah, athlete skills aren't very good. But
maybe Teddy Ursa.
He learns a couple of cool status moves, like Will-O-Wisp and Confuse Ray, so you can kind
Which
of play strategy.
Nice, definitely.
Yeah, you can play strategy with that. But so far, for me, I think he's the least like overpowering fire type. He learns Flamethrower really on, and he needs it, because so far his stats aren't anything to where he can just plow through guys. And his moveset, you know, strategy moves, and right now he also knows Flamethrower and Quick Attack.
Yeah, he learns very bad moves, but the nice thing about Vulpix is it's wonderful as a Ninetales.
Yeah, and I upgraded mine to a Ninetales, and he's working out pretty well so far. Still not, like, up to snuff with, like, Typhlosion or Arcanine. Oh,
yeah, that's, like, really demanding a lot of the guy.
But you remember how in the original, like, Red and Blue versions, or in actually later versions, too, I think in this Heart Gold, Soul Silver, you can either get a Vulpix or a Growlithe?
Yeah.
So far, to me, it seems like Growlithe the better of the two.
Well, yeah. I will always prefer Vulpix, but yeah, I will say Growlithe is the better.
However, I did cheat a little bit, and I looked on Serebii to see what kind of moves he could learn, and he can learn some psychic moves through TMs.
Yeah.
And if I might give that a shot, and if those psychic moves work out really well for him, you know, that might tip the scales a little bit more into Vulpix's favor.
I've taught him psychic before.
Yeah, how'd that work?
Actually, pretty good.
Good.
It made him more useful.
So you've also used Venonat. And I think this is a guy that you like a lot.
I actually really like Venonat. I don't know why. There's something about him. He just always seems to work out all right for me.
He's a bug poison, right?
Yeah, bug poison.
And he learns psychic moves.
Psychic moves.
Which are definitely his most useful moves.
I think he's the actual first Pokemon other than psychic. Actually, I think I've used him before I've used psychic guys.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
I used him pretty early in my run-throughs when I first started the game. He's actually a pretty baller.
The first time I tried to use, like, a psychic guy, I caught a Psyduck.
Dang it! I was hoping you'd say, like, Drowsy or something like that.
No, and you remember, because in the TV show way back in the day, Psyduck used, like, Confusion, and it was, like, a super awesome move, and I remember getting it and training him so hard to where he finally learned Confusion and it being not that good. So that was my first experience with a psychic until... Don't die.
Sorry, I'm a little sick.
Until one run-through I was doing with the original Red and Blue and decided, hey, let's catch an Abra and see how he is, and the rest is history.
Yeah, the rest is history.
So, Venonat, I'm looking forward to him using, like, getting a Bug-type move, which he doesn't have yet, but if he can learn, like, a Bug Buzz or maybe, like, a Signal Beam or something, that would be really nice.
Oh, he'd be so awesome with Signal Beam.
I haven't looked to see... if he could learn it yet, but it'd be nice if he could have that advantage.
But she shouldn't.
No, I'm not kidding.
There's not like a TM for Signal Beam.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
It's such a wonderful move.
So it'd be nice to have that bug type advantage over dark types, especially when I'm about to go up against the Elite Four.
Oh, yeah.
So another guy you've used already is Seal.
Oh, Seal.
And Seal, it takes him forever to learn a water type move.
It does, but he works out so well at the end.
So, you know, he learned two ice moves before he actually learned to water. He learned
both fine.
Icy Wind and Aura Beam, which
is fine.
Yeah, they're both fine moves. Oh, and he also learned what's the one? Icicle Spear, the one that's like basically an ice type Quick Attack.
Yeah,
and
I think that's like Ice Shard or something like that.
Yeah, Ice Shard. That's the one. And he learned all those moves before he learned his first water type move. And except for Surf, which I just taught talked to him as soon as I got it because he needed a water move. So, you know, that's just kind of like a word of warning. In the early goings with Seal, you need to be aware that he's not going to learn a water-type move. So either teach him one or don't count on him being there to take out, like, fire types for you.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. But the good thing about Seal is that his attack usually develops pretty well.
Yeah.
And he always learns, like, stuff like Headbutt and Slam, which is always good for him. I always taught him Rest.
Rest is a good move for him because he's got really good HP.
Oh, yeah.
So if you can teach him Rest and then just have an Awakening ready for him, then...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a good guy to use. And you said you've tried to use Rhyhorn before.
I've always wanted to use a Rhyhorn, but the issue is his special defense is so low, and being Rock and Ground, he always just gets his butt kicked, and he requires so much experience.
Yeah.
It's just too much of a chore.
Both of those are definitely true. He doesn't stand much of a chance if he's out against a water type.
Or even a psychic type. His special defense is so low.
Yeah, and... he doesn't learn a lot of moves that are other than normal type moves like stomp and takedown,
attack, and
yeah, which are all okay moves, but not to
completely rely on.
Yeah, and it doesn't give him any type advantage against anybody. I taught mine Rock Tomb because you find it early on in the game, and that one's okay. It's inaccurate, and then he also learned Rock Blast on his own, which. Is like a fury attack, rock attack, yeah. But it's also inaccurate.
Yeah.
And by inaccurate, I mean 80%. Anything under like 90% to me is inaccurate.
Yeah. You're kind of like asking a lot. What's the word I want to use for this? You're kind of a...
I have high expectations.
High expectations.
Like if I tell you to use a move, you better use it and you better hit. I'm the same way with Fire Emblem. If somebody has like under an 80... like accuracy. Like
Dude, I hear that sigh from me. Oh man, 70%.
Yeah, which means that they'll most likely hit, but it just seems like when it's that low, you need to be able to count on, especially in Fire Emblem, which is very much about strategy. You need to be able to count on your guys being able to execute your
move. That's why you hate guys with bad skill.
Yep. So Rhyhorn, TMs are definitely a must, and yeah, he eats up experience like a motherfucker.
Inhales it, just dear God.
Takes him so much to gain a level, and he evolves super late. All of these guys evolve kind of late, except for maybe like Venonat. He evolves at a reasonable level, and Vulpix evolves with a stone.
Yeah, so whenever you want.
Yeah, but
Venonat, I think it's like what 31.
Actually, now that I think about it, yeah, I think you're right. I think it is in the 30s. So everyone here is evolving later than 30. So, you know, it's definitely an investment. You kind of have to babysit them a little bit. But Rhyhorn evolves, I think, like 42.
Yep.
And the reason that I want to keep going with this team and keep going with Rhyhorn is because Rhydon has to be good.
He has to be. He has to be, but he's not.
He has to be good to suck to I don't want to say suck this much because my Rhyhorn's doing okay in certain situations, but to be this much of a chore to level up, he needs to be like a non-dark Tyranitar.
Yep.
Or you know, even like Rhyperior, because I think like once you get Rhydon, you can take him up to Rhyperior as long as you got the item. But to have a guy be this much of a chore, he's got to pay off. Yes,
definitely.
And I'm going on faith.
Do we have the items for Rhyperior? Because we should just take them straight to that.
I think I can get them, and I think you can get them in Heart Gold, Soul Silver. I'll look that up later. I won't do it now. So the other two guys that we haven't talked about yet, we got Teddy Ursa, who has so far he's okay. He's got a good advantage because he knows like different type moves. He like feint attack.
I wish we thought this team out better because Rhyhorn and Teddy Ursa are pretty much gonna be like interchangeable where they just have a lot of normal moves for a while.
Well, Teddy Ursa actually learned feint attack and he knows lick, so he's got some different type moves and he was actually really useful against Morty because he's a normal type and knows a dark type move.
Yeah, definitely.
So and
Morty always was my Achilles heel. That guy always beat the crap out of me.
Yeah, his Gengar's a chore.
Oh,
he's rough. But let's go ahead and get things wrapped up here. I don't want to go too much deeper into this team. Yeah, because I don't want to go too much deeper into this team because we're going to be talking about him next month too. But we got Tangela.
I got one more guy. Yep, Tangela.
And he learns drain moves, and they work pretty well. You know, it's a typical like grass type handicap. He's more useless the further you go in, not because he's bad, it's because
he's a grass.
Yeah, the guys you're going up against have resistances to grass type.
Yeah.
So he's a guy who, you know, has solid stats, and we'll get more into stats of these guys when we do another show next month. But I'm digging him early on, but I can foresee problems because he's not learning many other moves other than grass type moves.
Yeah.
So like Absorb and Mega Drain, and he learned Vine Whip, which is useless for him because he's got such a low attack. And he does learn Ancient Power, which is a pretty cool rock type move. It's like 60 special, but it's only got 5 PP, so it's not the most useful move ever.
That's also, he like evolve after he has that?
Yeah, level 33. Like I remember this about using him before. Level 33, he learns Ancient Power, and you have to teach it to him, and then he'll level up automatically. If you don't teach it to him, he'll stay a Tangela.
Yep.
So, any other shots you want to throw out there about this team?
Nah, without going too deep. Yeah, I think that we pretty much covered a good little thin layer of them.
Yep, so we'll be back next month to go on deeper with this team, and hopefully Rhyhorn works out. That's really the major reason that I want to spend some more time with this team, because I'm really hoping that he does. But if you want to shoot us any emails or have any different takes on the Pokemon we've talked about, you can shoot us an email. I am John, J-O-N, at GamersUnanimous.com.
And I am Wes at GamersUnanimous.com.
Follow us on Twitter at GamersUnanimous, like us on Facebook at GamersUnanimous, and follow our blog on my IGN. Until next week, everybody.
Baller!
All right, fine.